Start your day in the Torahway, Northwest London, Wednesday, 25th of Teves, 18th of January, Avraham Moshe Rubin Shlita, Mesiras Nefesh, beyond Glasgow.
I'm not sure. I believe Mr. Itzkowitz is to blame for this. But Shkayach, thank you very much for inviting me to share a few moments with you. It's amazing how everyone comes over to me. First of all, my name is, as was just said, Rabbi Avraham Moshe Rubin. I am the Rav in Glasgow community. And yesterday I was speaking to someone, and a British person, and they asked me, where is Glasgow? So, and I also have to say to you, for all of those who think that it is snowstorms and it's just as bad as over here. But, so, let me begin. You know, when my children, I usually have a printer, and I print out what I'm going to say, but I'm out of my comfort zone. So, when my children return home from yeshiva, or sem, we always have a laugh about their fellow Bochrim and Sem girls, their perception of Glasgow and Scotland. The questions they get are like, is Glasgow in Scotland? Is it in the same time zone? How many flights do you need to take to get there? Is it in Europe or is it in the USA? One of the most common questions and reactions we get about living in Glasgow is, wow, it must be such a great Mesiras Nefesh to live in Glasgow. So recently, my daughter came home from Sem, and she mentioned how one of the Rabbanim, one of her Sem Rabbanim, made that same comment to her about living in Glasgow. And I asked my daughter, is it a Mesiras Nefesh? Or better, what makes something a Mesiras Nefesh? We discussed it over the last few weeks. And let me share with you some of my thoughts on this question. In 1992, the Leiv Simcha of Ger was Nifta, and his younger brother, Reb Pinchas Menachem, who became known after he died as the Pnei Menachem, became Rebbe. The first Sukkos after he became Rebbe, I traveled on what the Hasidim called a Nesiyah, a trip to visit the Rebbe. And if you know a little bit about Ger and the format of Shabbos and Yom Tov davening in Ger, you'll know that there is an afsaka. You get an hour or a half hour break during davening to learn. At least that's the idea, is to learn. So during the break of that Yom Tov night, I managed to get into the Rebbe's sukkah to do shulim nem, to say shalom aleichem, I've arrived. And it was very interesting that the moment I said to the Rebbe, I'm from Glasgow, immediately the Rebbe knew exactly where it was, and he asked me what time is the latest Shabbos in Glasgow. At the time, I was learning in the Glasgow Kollel, and I was the only chassid beside Rabbi Jacobs, who's the Chabad Shliach in Glasgow. I mentioned this to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe replied to me with a long vort, which really threw me. Because again, if you know a little bit about Ger and how things work in Ger, you know, usually an audience with the Rebbe is no longer than a minute. And here I was hearing a vart going on for 2-3 minutes and even longer, something highly unusual. So I completely did not understand a word the Rebbe said to me. The following year, I once again had the privilege to visit the Rebbe. And the moment the Rebbe saw me, he repeated the Vort word for word, and this time I made sure to listen and try to understand. So here's the Vort the Rebbe shared with me so many years ago. The Rebbe began by saying that there was once a chassid of the Chiddush HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, who was living in Germany, amongst the Yekkes. And he felt very lonely and far away from the Chassidish environment. So the Chiddush HaRim shared with him the following Yalkut Shemoni. So Yosef HaTzadik, he is sent down, he's cast down to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. And over there, as he arrives, it says, Vayihi Hashem es Yosef. And Hashem was with Yosef. So ask the Yalkut, Im Shah Shavotim Loi? Was the Eibishter not with the other Shvatim? Vayihi Hashem es Yosef, only with Yosef, and not with the other Shvatim, not with the other tribes? Amar Rabbi Yudin said, Mashal Adam. He gives a mashal to about a person. A person who had 12 animals that were laden with wine. One of these animals entered a shop, a non-Jewish shop. The owner abandoned the other 11 animals and went after this one animal. Some of his farming friends found this bewildering. How can he leave 11 animals to fend for themselves and go after one animal? Amale, so the farmer said to his friends, Eilu b'reshus harabim. The other animals are all in reshus harabim, they're all in a public place. Ve'eini misyoreir, I'm not afraid, shemi yasu yayin nesach, that anything is going to happen to the wine, that unfortunately it will become yayin nesach. V'zu, this one animal, nichnis al l'chanusa shalgoi, it went to a non-Jewish shop. And I am afraid, perhaps the wine that's on the animal will become Yayin Nesach. Says the Galkut, Kach also, Eilu Gedoidim, these great Shavotim, Ubrashus Aviyam Heim, they are in the company of their father. I'm not worried. Eibishter was not worried about them. Avazer, this Yosef, this little Yosef, Shukotan, he's young, Ubrashus Atzma in his own, his own environment with nothing else there, lefichach, vahi Hashem es Yosef. That's why the pasuk says, Hashem was with Yosef. This is the printed version of the Yalkut. But the Pnei Menachem told me in the name of the Chiddush HaRim, a slightly different version. The Rebbe shared the mashal, about 10 camels standing all together and one camel ran away. The owner ran after the one camel, single camel, leaving all the other 9 camels to fend for themselves. Later, when he was explaining his actions to his fellow farmers, he explained, the 9 camels don't really need a full-time mashgiach present, as they have one another. They have a chabura, they have a group. And one looks after the other, but this lonely camel, who ran away and is totally lost and alone, that camel needs special assistance. So it is with the Shvatim and Yaakov. As challenging as the situation was, they had one another. Unlike Yosef, who was isolated and alone, had no one. That is why the Pasuk says, Vahi Hashem is Yosef. The Eibishter was with Yosef. The Rebbe summarized this part with these words. And till today, those words, they resonate, and I always hear them being said by the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, A yid was voint in a varte platz, hot a spziela hashkucha prutis. For those who don't speak Yiddish, I will translate. A yid that lives in a faraway place has a special, unique Hashgacha Pratis, divine guidance. For many years, I felt these words were only said to me and about my circumstances of living so far away from the Torah centers like here in London or Eretz Yisrael. Well, one day, I was learning the Rebbe Shmissen, the Rebbe's Torahs, and he spoke in Yerushalayim on the Shabbos to thousands of Hasidim who live in the many Torah centers, in places where there's a shtibel on every corner, where there's kosher and Jewish facilities on your doorstep, where you don't have to order your milk a week or 2 weeks before, where there are schools for all kinds of children, where your children are sheltered, and you don't have to try to explain how the Chilul Shabbos they see is wrong, and the people commit them, this Chilul Shabbos, are also wrong, but at the same time to remember that they are Yidden, etc., etc. In those so-called perfect places, the Pnei Menachem felt that there was those who were living in a faraway place, and they had a special Hashgacha Pratus. As the Rebbe repeated the same vort in his Shmissin, in Yerushalayim, one particular Shabbos. In other words, the Mesiras Nefesh of living in Glasgow is no different than the Mesiras Nefesh of living right here in London. And in both places, you can be living in a faraway place. So what is this faraway place? What is the faraway place of Mitzrayim where Yosef was living that we can experience right here in London or Yerushalayim? So we all know the story of Yaakov. He's running away from his brother. And he finds himself away, he finds himself in Golos. There's a very famous Gemara. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Sha'alti es Rabbi Gamaliel ves Rabbi Yeshua. I ask Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yeshua. It says, Kosov. Pasuk says after Yaakov, after the whole story with the Malach, it says, Vayizrach loy Hashemesh. The sun shone for Yaakov, loy for him. Vachishemesh, loy levad zarcha? Is the sun just shining for Yaakov? Valay lechol ha'olam zarcha? It's shining for the whole world. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak responded, Shemesh haba ba'avuroi, zarcha ba'avuroi. The sun, the same sun that set for Yaakov, earlier on, now was shining for him. It says Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. And he came to the place and he davened over there. We know the whole story with the dream. When he came to Haran, he said, is it possible? I went through the place where my ancestors, my father, my grandfather, Davin, they prayed. I didn't Davin. So what happens? He went, we have a whole Kvitsa Saderach over there, and he Davins. And then says the Gemara, when he wanted to go back, to Haran, Hashem said, I want you to stay one night with me. And that's the whole story with the dream. What I always found interesting is that it is clear from these words that Yaakov, as he was passing the famous Mokon, the holy place, the very place where his own ancestors davened, he ignored the fact. And it was only after he reached Haran that he regretted not being mispalel at this very holy place. So he begins to return. What prevented him from being mispalel when he went by? When he traveled to this holy place? Perhaps this was the first episode of Golos in history. Yaakov Avinu, who is now living in Golos, and part of that Golos was that Yaakov Avinu felt so far away from Mokem HaMikdash. He wondered, what could his tefillos achieve? But in that far away, dark place, in his heart, some way and somehow, he found the guts. He found it within himself, the spark. And he said, "Vani lo yisbalalti, asha avati al mokem shesbalu avoysai, vani lo yisbalalti." After he went by, and after he walked by, and he didn't feel suited, didn't feel Roy worthy of davening, He said, but maybe I should go back and daven. Mesiras Nefesh is when we feel like Yaakov Avinu. We feel that our tefillos and our mitzvos have no special effect and make no great difference. But despite this feeling, we make that extra effort to put some cheshek and love in what we are doing. That is Mesiras Nefesh. Yesterday I was chatting with some people about Glasgow. And a critical comment was made about how some of the Glaswegians, not all of them, are observant yet. How, because they might not be totally observant, therefore their davening is not so special. My response was to this was that actually, in many respects, the attendance of the members to shul is incredible and inspiring. As for my members who try to come to shul where it is not such a popular thing to do, when they come, they are really being mersed in nefesh, in their attendance, and their level of observance is irrelevant at that point. However, after some thought, I feel that equally, there's a great mesiras nefesh for someone who lives here, or any center of Torah, and going to shul and living Yiddishkeit is the cultural thing to do. On a Shabbos morning, Gateman and Shul, we have a Cholent, we have a Kiddush, this is what everyone else is doing. However, it is living far away from the Eibishter. Because really what the Eibishter wants, Rachmana Liboy. He wants your heart, he wants your soul. And this person goes and makes an extra effort to give his mitzvah, to do his mitzvah and the Masim Tovim, and to give it meaning and the Shama. It is to that person that Pnei Menachem was referring to when he said, with what he said to me, that Ayid was voint in a vata platz, but that's what Sieva Hashkocha Pritus. So in my reply to those who say to us that we are Moisei Nefesh, I say every Yid who tries putting some real neshama into whatever they're doing, that is real Mesiras Nefesh. And to them we say, Vayhi Hashem as Yosef, the Eibishter was with Yosef. Thank you.
Gadol is Gadol, Shemayim Gadol, all of the world is Savior, 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 all of the world is Sav